gathered up here with some of the guys to pray. That's one of the things that contributed to the thing that he was just talking about. Eventually, that was my first time to come to the Chita Baptist Church. And I met Brother Wilson a bit, and we fell in love with him over there, but well, since then our hearts have met. I just tell you about that time. It was a rough experience for me to keep coming to those quarterly prayer meetings. We started preaching to one another. It was at a time, and it was just rough for me to keep going to that whole scenario. In fact, I was in a Bible conference over there. I had all I could handle. I came home. Of course, Sharon was so disappointed I came home. She was expecting some time without any interference. But it was just rough. I mean, just the drudgery. A Christian life ought not be like that. I mean, I understand. Listen to me. I don't believe there's anybody in here who does not sin. You probably already committed enough sin today to warrant going to hell. If you committed any sin, you've already committed enough sin to warrant going to hell.
Right.
I mean, just today. And if you have, repent.
Yes.
Confess it. Own up to it. Go on with your life. But that's what you do, is go on with your life. Don't live in the burden of that woe is me syndrome. And it got to be that. And I told Sharon I'd quit if it wasn't for... I don't have a clue what Russell's temperament and all of that is.
It's not that.
I could not. I told Sharon, I said, if it wasn't for Russell, I'd quit going. I'd just resign from that and quit altogether. But I just can't go off and leave him by himself with all of those guys and that. And the Lord worked it out. I didn't have to. They disassociated with us.
Yes.
I'm just telling you the truth. Now they did. Now listen. That was a sad time in my life.
Yes.
I hate to be disassociated from anybody. Especially those that claim to be brothers in the Lord. But you just have to stand for the truth no matter what. And so we did get closer together. And then started coming to these meetings that you would have. And I loved it. I even got to preach in a couple of three of them. But when I didn't get to preach, I loved y'all's food. It wasn't hardly financially advantageous for us to drive 2 hours to get to just eat supper. But we got way beyond supper. We got over here, got preached to a couple of times and fellowship with some of my best friends in the world, and it's just been a blessing. So I love every minute of it. And then I get over here. I met Brother Marvelous Marvin Fuller at our Bible conference a couple of weeks ago. He come. Brother Pete said, I got a fella coming who's going to need a place to sleep, lay down. Can you find him a place? I said, yeah, I can find him a place. He pointed it out. And so I went and told him, and he said, that ain't... Decided to get a motel room, but we provided him a place if he wanted to sleep. And got to talk, and then Brother Carter goes over and preaches. He said, "At Marvin, his mama, he thinks he knows you." And then he come here telling me about Center, Texas. And I said, well, they got to be confused, because I don't have any relatives or any kinfolk in Center, Texas. And then she shows up today, and I go out there to meet her, and I explain to her who I am. And they begin talking about Joaquin. Now, if you don't know how to say it, it's Joaquin. That's the way it's spelled. But it's Joaquin. It's pronounced Joaquin. Now, if you come from Tenney Hall, that's how you say that. Now, if Sharon's talking about it, it's Tenaha. But then she was born and raised in Houston. But if you come from Tenney Hall, that's how you say it. And she said, I'm from Joaquin, Old Home. I said, Old Home, yeah, Old Home Baptist Church. I said, I preached in that church. And we got to talking about one of the ladies that was one of the charter members there, I guess, been there a long, long, long time. And I couldn't even remember her name. I could see her just in my mind, and I kept, I've got so many Eulas and Beulahs and stuff. Beulah May. She said, yeah, Beulah May's my mother. You got to be kidding me. Now listen to me. Come to find out, when I was about 2 years old, they lived next door to us, or right there in that same little neighborhood. And she said, oh yeah, it just dawned on me, Barney, in Houston, Texas. Barney, she said, I remember you when you was that tall, about two, meanest little old thing I ever saw. I said, that's got to be me. No doubt. She's between my two sisters, Nelwyn and Bobby. They're both passed and going on to be. She said, you got a brother. I said, yep, that's us. And sure enough, began. Isn't that a small world? What God, Brother Carter, she does know my family. And her mother and my mother were very close, good friends. Of course, they were neighbors. And they'd all them people come from East Texas, ended up in the same little old row of houses. Ma'am? Railway? Did you? Man, what a blessing. Thank you for coming. I'm glad you're here. Now, I'm trying to settle in. I want to preach a few minutes. I got way too much preaching to get done in two sessions. So what I'm going to do is read to you my text as if I was going to be here for about a month or two every day. And give you my outline, then I'm going to preach to you what I can tonight, and then preach to you what I can tomorrow from this passage of Scripture. And sometimes a month won't get it done. I told them people, most of you may not know Gib Johnson. He's a close friend of mine. I met him probably before I met Brother Carter. He'd come to a little place called between equipment, they call it the Back Acres Preacher's Retreat. Some preacher titled it that, and it stuck, and somebody wrote a big sign on it. Way out in the country, an old friend that had worked for Exxon, I believe it was, in Baytown, moved off up there and bought 30 or 40 acres and built a big old barn, just a big old metal barn, had the slab poured, and he and his wife retired, him and his wife, put all the red iron up and the sheet metal and built bunk beds and a partition in there and fixed it up to have where preachers could come apart and pray and preach. And they fixed a kitchen about like y'all's out there, and they got a dining hall about like yours. And he and her, Brother Lacey, Albert Lacey and Maxine, did most of the cooking. They'd fix supper on Thursday night and brunch on Friday and supper on Friday night and feed the preachers. Wouldn't take an offering, wouldn't do, just for us to come apart. Brother Gib Johnson was one of the first ones to come up there, and I thought the dude was odd. He'd come up there and put his little shorts on and started running around the perimeter of the property. I'm just telling you the truth. And he'd run for about an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever, and then when he'd come, he'd preach, he'd kind of wouldn't even finish pronouncing his sentences. He'd get in the middle of a sentence and then quit and start another one. Now, I finally understood what that, his best friend says the problem with him is he'd been bull-kicked too many times. And Brother Carter would go to a place called Cooper, Texas, and he'd call us. He'd say, come over here. I'm going to be preaching this week, and come over. Y'all sing, they'll like y'all. You and Miss Sharon and Miss Ray Nell. Of course, we did, and they didn't. They just sat there and looked at us like, but we bested them. We just kept going and kept going and kept going. We finally wore them down, Brother Russell, and they started asking us to come. They didn't wait on Carter to call. They just called and said, hey, we're having a meeting. Come lead the singing for us. Hollis Priest is who I'm talking about. I don't know if you've heard him talk about it. We heard him talking about this afternoon. Wonderful people, and we loved it. But then one day, one Sunday afternoon, he said, can I come to your church? He called. Brother Carter did, and I said, well, sure. I mean, this is how I tell them. You're not just welcome, you're wanted. And that goes for you too, Brother Russell. Anytime, you don't have to have an invitation. Anytime you can get there, you're not just welcome, you're wanted. And of course, it's for Carter and two or three others. I don't tell every preacher I know that, but several, and he's one of them. And he said, yeah. I said, well, how long will it take you to get there? He said, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I ain't bright. I know I ain't. I promise I'm not. We have the distinction. I've got this distinction more than any other preacher that we know, as far as I know. Brother Carter and I both went to the same high school. Now, he went long enough to graduate, and I went about 6 weeks. And they put me back into junior high for about the 14th time. But we did have, and I know I'm not bright. I know I'm not. But look, it took a minimum of 3 hours for me to drive to Cooper. I drove over there one night, and he preached about 20 minutes. That's what I said. What is this? I didn't drive no 3 hours to hear a 20-minute sermon. Next time I come over here, you better preach to me. But he said, I said, how long have you been there? He said, well, I've been preaching here since Thursday night. There it goes again, that little clicking. I said, how long does it take? And he told me, I said, well, I don't understand that. He said, what? He said, I said, well, you'll ask me to come to Cooper and it takes 3 hours, but you go to Cookville and it takes less than 2 hours, and you didn't even call me and tell me you was there. And this is what he said. He said, I didn't think you liked Gib Johnson. Now, in his behalf, I said, what made you say that? He said, well, it's something you said. I said, well, what did I say? He said, you said he is odd. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, I did say that, but that don't mean I didn't like him. Now, we got to be fast friends, Brother Gib Johnson and I did, very, very close. And I've got to say all this to tell this story I'm about to tell. He's had a stroke, and then he had an operation to fix what caused his stroke, and while he was having the operation to fix what caused his stroke, he had another stroke, and it was worse than the first one. And then while he was still in rehab, on the second stroke, he had a pulmonary embolism, and his heart quit beating. He coded out, that's what they say. I mean, he went in cardiac arrest for well over 5 minutes. We don't even know for sure how long. And he's been to me, it doesn't look like he'll ever get back in the pulpit. But in the meantime, one of the key leaders over there put out word, if anybody can come, we need help. So I talked to my church, and they agreed to let me go over there two Wednesday nights a month, and until they could get settled what they was going to do. So I started going over there in, November? On the first and third Wednesday nights, Brother Larry Hull, my song leader, very graciously fills in for me on Wednesday night when I'm gone. But they finally called an interim pastor, and he's going to start the first Sunday in March, taking Sundays and Wednesdays, so I'm not going to have to go. So I started out preaching in the book of Jude. Somebody said they was listening to me on sermon audio. I said, oh, he won't. I'm surprised he even showed up. But I started out preaching in the book of Jude and had intentions. Well, I got all the way through verse 7. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's 25 verses in the book of Jude. So I preached from verse 8 to verse 19. My wife's jaw dropped about that far this past Wednesday night. But I made them promise, don't y'all tell my church that I was able to get all this done in one night. Don't you dare. So I'm not going to get through. I'm not even going to try to get through all of this. But I'm going to start and get done with what I can, okay? And I'm going to quit here and let my friend. Now, I'm super duper honored to be in the. Before when I'd come, I'd preach with Walter Sanders. Now, Walter's my oldest, longest friend and very, very, very close. But you can't dynamite him away from his pulpit on Sunday hardly, and that's why we were invited to come last year. And I put all of my dates out there and told Walter, just name the time. And I couldn't get him to commit. So when Brother Russell said something about it, I said, well, you can forget about Walter. If you'll just ask me to come, I will. Well, come, I'm here. So, and I'm glad to get to be here. Did I tell you 1 Peter chapter 1? Verse number 1 through verse number 9. The subject, the total overall theme for this short passage, I've entitled Receiving the End of Your Faith based on verse number 9. Receiving, we won't get anywhere close to verse number 9 these 2 days. But if I ever get to come back, I'll pick up where I left off. And then maybe if I just get to keep coming back enough three years in a row, I might get to finish up. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. If you can, stand, and I'm going to read out loud in my copy, and you follow along in yours. This is what the Bible said. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, of the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, let me read that correctly, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible, Lord of God. Help us with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. There's so much to be talked about in these verses. Let me read one verse from the book of Hebrews. Let me just give you a little example of some of this stuff. When you start looking at the Bible, you're just going to have to start comparing things that are very, very important. Look in Hebrews 13, verse 7. You don't have to. I'll just read it to you. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, we have not come to the end of our conversation. Now, that don't mean quit talking. Right? You know that. In the Bible, when you get run across the word conversation, in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, but especially in the New Testament, but in the Bible in general, when you run across the word conversation, it don't mean a dialogue between one or more persons. Now, some of us can have a conversation with ourselves. I do that quite frequently. I've even started learning how to talk in tongues to myself. Sharon says, that don't sound good. Actually, what does it mean? Well, I don't have to interpret it to nobody, so I can just go ahead. It don't mean nothing. That's what it don't mean. But a conversation, that's not what this conversation means. By the way, I'm joking. I mean, I do gibberish, but it don't mean nothing. I'm joking. I'm not got nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. I hadn't got anything to do with it. But when you get into the Scripture and find the word conversation, what it means is your way of living or your life. Now, the end of your conversation when you come to the end of your life. Now, when you receive the end of your faith is when you come to the end of your life. But listen to me. Are y'all listening? Though we have not seen Christ, we love him and have not seen him yet. Did you get that yet part? Now, I ain't got time to get into this because I'm going to preach here in a minute. But did you get that yet part? That means we already know that we already know. I'm glad because I like to be liked. I go out of my way to be liked. I do. I promise. I wasn't liked in school much. They just naturally didn't. It might be that meanest part Ms. Chris was talking about earlier. But I like to be liked. I really do. But the point I'm trying to get to is we know. When we get around Bob Woodruff and listen to him talk about, hey, if we can just grasp the fact, just a little concept of the idea that our sins, yes, that ought to send you to hell, if you got what you deserved, have been forgiven.
Amen.
I'm talking about blotted out. God never brings him to recollection again. It's not because he's forgotten them either. He just chooses not to bring them up. Blotted out. By the way, there's... Well, what did I do? I got that thing in my pocket. I'm like Dr. Campbell. After a few minutes, I got to get that part of that high priestly robe off. It's hot. All right, let me give you my outline. Here's point one. Our heritage is in Christ by regeneration. Not by generation or procreation. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Our heritage is in Christ by regeneration. Our hope, that's in verse 1 and 2. Our hope is in Christ by resurrection. Our home is with Christ by reservation. Squire Parsons, a famed, renowned songwriter, wrote a little song called I've Got a Reservation. That's one of the first, well, not one of the first, but a song I learned to play on my guitar and play and sing a little bit. Brother Carter likes it. He used to request it every now and then, sing that song, and I don't even carry the music with me anymore, but it's I've Got a Reservation. To walk on the streets of gold. And that's, I got a reservation to do that. Now listen, my reservation cannot be canceled. Now, when you make hotel and hotel reservations, you over the internet, sometimes there are no cancellation. There are no cancellation clauses. There are clauses with no cancellation. But this ain't like that. It cannot be canceled. You cannot not show up. Did you get that? In this reservation. But it's a reservation made by Christ. Our home is with Christ by resurrection. Our honor. Now you didn't know we got any honor, did we? But that's what it says in the text when you read in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Isn't that interesting? Your faith be found unto... Are y'all getting this? Your faith be found unto praise and honor. Brother Carter asked the question that Jesus asked. When he comes again, will there be faith on earth? Get him to preach that to you sometime. Or just talk to you about it around the coffee cups. We got some honor because we got some faith. Now, if you have faith, if you have God-given faith, if you have the faith that God gives, salvation, saving faith that God gives, even though it's trash, it's going to come through like better than gold.
Yeah.
Under honor. And it's going to be praise and glory. Point number 5, which is the last point. Our help is from Christ by revelation. Now, I was one of those guys that didn't believe in no more revelation. After the revelation. In chapter, the last book of the Bible. And still pretty much believe in. I'm not going to ride that hobby horse. Well, I might ride it just a few paces. I was reading an article in that paper that we get from Sovereign Grace, and talking about music and stuff like that and some of the things that the people in the Old Testament writers didn't have to put this stuff in there because of people familiar with it. There's only one major problem with that. Let me tell you what it is. The Bible was not written for, strictly, those people in the Old Testament. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, listen to this. The first 5 books of the Old Testament was written by whom? He didn't live till after several hundred years after the children of Israel went into Egypt. What does he know about what those people believed back here in Abraham's day? Inspiration. Divine direction. When he wrote the book, he wrote what God wanted him to write. He didn't write what everybody thought. Give me a major break. One of my friends said, well, Paul might have been the only guy that was might have been 100% on the mark. What do you mean, might have been? If Paul wrote any of the Bible, and by the way, he wrote some stuff that's not in the Bible. So how do you know that? Because over in the book of Colossians, he says, hey, have this letter read to the Laodiceans, and have that letter from the Laodiceans read over here at Colossae, and we don't have a copy of the Laodicean record. You know what it was not? Inspired writing. But that he wrote to the church at Colossae for some reason. I'm not going to tell you why it was. It's God's choice and not Paul's. What letters got into the book and what letters did not. Somebody said there's 3, maybe 4 letters to the Corinthian church. It could be 10 or 12 for all I know. And who cares? We've got the Bible. And that's what we go by. Isn't that interesting? So I'm going to talk about this for just a minute. Scattered as strangers, our heritage is in Christ by regeneration. Here's what we were, scattered as strangers. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout all of those places. I done read them once. I ain't going to do it no more. I have a hard enough time pronouncing the names I can say, let alone those I can't. And I'm not going to get in it. Let me just give you the main qualification of this apostle for writing to these people. Can I? You can find it in Matthew chapter 16. Begin with verse 16. Well, you can look in begin with verse 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let me just back over there and look at it. Stay with me a minute. And I promise I'm not going to, I'm going to quit before too long. This is just such interesting stuff, and what we're talking about, it really makes a whole lot of difference in your walk with Christ. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse number 16. You know the story. It's about Jesus asking after the unleavened bread stuff. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they said, what, you mad at us because we didn't bring bread? What's the matter with you guys? Got nothing to do with bread. He's talking about doctrine. He said, well, I'm sick of doctrine. You can't live without it. You cannot live spiritually without doctrine. You've got to have doctrine, which is only Bible teaching, by the way. That's what your pastor's been doing. I know that's what he's been doing because he took as long as he needed to go through the book of Hebrews. I heard him say that. He said, well, time would fail us. They said, well, time's not going to fail us. We'll just stay here as long as it takes. And then he started, I remember that, Brother Russell. By the way, that's what you're supposed to do if you're the pastor of a church. Teach your flock, feed them. That's what feeding the flock is, teaching them the Bible. Don't feed them pablum, feed them the Bible. Feed them the Word of God, and that's what he's doing. Listen to this. Chapter number 16, verse number 16, Matthew. He'd been asking the apostles, whom do men say that I am? And they had a litany of things. Well, he said this, whom do ye say that I am? Can I give you a little King James Version lesson right quick? Ye, you, yours, and all of those that start with are always in the plural. Now listen to me. When you run across the word you in the King James Version Bible, it's not singular, it's plural. Every single time. You say, well, I can prove it. No, you can't. I promise you can't. My good friend David Parker's an English scholar. He said, that ain't right. He'll bow up at me every now and then. He said, that ain't right. And I said, well, show me a case. And he scoured. I think he stayed up half the night trying to find a place and getting the next. I said, here's one. And I said, well, that won't fit, Brother David. He's talking to you as a group. I mean, you can just look at the context and see that. Well, I'm just telling you, whom do ye say that I am? Are you staying with me on this? Now, ye is all of the apostles that he's talking to. I guess all 12 of them still there. And this is what some said, but this is what the answer was. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's what we say. Well, that Simon's just a spokesman for the whole crowd. But see, you can't get saved being a spokesman for somebody else. Can't get saved being their spokesman for you. You can't get saved somebody else being your spokesman. Does he believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, he believes in Jesus. Well, he needs to say that. You can't say that for him. I know you want to because you're his grandmother and you want him to be saved. I'm not saying he's not, but if he's not, you can't say that he can be that he's saved just because you want him to be. If he's going to come to know Christ and understand who Christ is, somebody got to tell him himself, and not you can't tell him that. Now notice what the reply was. This is what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's what Jesus said. See, I told you guys. Now, here's the other half of that lesson. All of the T's, like thee, thou, thine, thyself, all of those are singular. Except for they. Well, anybody knows that. Brother Carter knows that. And he went to Smiley High School. You don't know where Smiley is, do you? It's on the northeast side of Houston. Oh, it was a Lark Coffee gang over on the northeast side of Houston. Y'all talk about the Crips and the Bloods and all that. Hey, I think the Lark Coffee gang was the precursor of all of those guys. Have you ever heard of the Lark Coffee gang, Brother Russell? I'm talking about mean dudes. They was bad. Killers, murderers, without question. Pug Barfield and that bunch. I lived around all of those guys, gangs bad. But what does that got to do with anything? But that's they. But here's what he said. Blessed art thou, Simon Bajana. For flesh and blood it's not revealed that. Now, what we get out of that is that if any of the rest of the apostles are going to come to Christ, they have to come to him and have to have that same revelation that Peter got. I'm talking about, do you understand what I'm saying? So, now, I'm telling you what Peter's authority for writing the scripture. Are you with me? And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You ought to get Johnny Carter to preach on that for a while. Christ is not the rock in that passage of scripture. He is the rock that the church is built on. Christ is the foundation that the church is built on, but that's not the rock he's talking about. The ark. For blessed art thou, Simon Bajana, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, what is this rock? The revelation. Are y'all listening? Listen down, listen to me. Nobody ever gets added to the church that don't get the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Virgin born Son of God. Nobody gets added to the church. Nobody. The people don't get added to the church by accepting Jesus into their heart. Or repeating a little prayer. Or being baptized. Or any of those things. People get added to the church upon the revelation when God reveals it to them individually, singularly, personally, not as a group. I imagine the rest of the group, all but Judas, come to Christ. But I still not got to the place I want you to see. I'm talking about the authority that he's got to write this passage of Scripture. Listen to this. And I will give unto thee. The keys. And it ain't the Roman Catholic Church either, by the way. The Pope hadn't got the key to nothing unless it's to his house or some apartment somewhere. He don't know God. He don't know God nor how to get to heaven if he did know God. And he don't even know God. And none of the rest of the Catholic priests, just listen to me what I'm telling you. They don't have no keys. I'm going to tell you, if you got the key in your hand that will get people to heaven, you got the only hope, Brother Paul George. You got the only answer right here. I read it in the book. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Nobody gets saved. Nobody gets saved without believing the Bible, the Word of God. This is what Paul said. Hey, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And the preaching has to be the Word of God. Peter said, our regeneration comes by the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? Our redemption comes by the blood of Christ. But our regeneration comes by the Word of God moving in our hearts. And He's got the keys. And that's to whom He's writing. And He's writing to strangers. Now here's what we are. I don't know if you like this or not, but here's, hey, I read this in the Bible. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, the world's not going to like you because you've got the Holy Ghost and they don't. Did I miss that? Isn't that something? Now here's the whole problem. And John, 1 John 3, verse 1, that's what he said. Listen to this. Let me just, I got that in my notes somewhere. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And they don't just not know you, they hate you. And especially if you got the Holy Ghost. Now listen, I'm not talking about speaking in gibberish languages. What I was just talking about a while ago, that's just gibberish. It don't mean nothing. I'm not talking about slaying people in the Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost fills your life so much, so distinctly, that it has an effect. Listen to me, an effect. It has an effect on how you live. And it's done through the Word of God. Strangers. I wish I had time, I just don't, to get into the strangers in Pilgrim's Part, to the strangers scattered throughout all of these places. And by the way, these are professing Jews. Now listen to me. Not professing Judaism. Did you get me? We could do a parallel of Baptistism. These are not just professing they're Baptists. Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I belong to the Baptist church. I didn't ask you what church you belong to. I asked you, are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? Here's my friend says he hardly ever asks anybody if they're a Christian anymore. He'll ask them, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And that shakes them up. So that might even shake me if he come to me and said, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, you got to be ready to answer that. Are you or are you not? And the issue is, if we are, here's what that makes us. Different from everybody else in the world. We're strangers and pilgrims. I'm still talking about our generation, our heritage, rather, by regeneration. Scattered as strangers. Here's the second thing. Those of us that are scattered as strangers are selected by the sovereign. Amen. Do you see that in that next phrase in chapter number 2? Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's who the sovereign is. Somewhere in my notes I got 1 John 5 and 7. So let me just go ahead and throw it out there. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but if I got a pet verse in the entire Bible, it's 1 John 5, 7. You know what it says? I'm going to tell you what it says. There are three that bear record in heaven. Now listen to me. If you don't think God's keeping up with what you do, you're mistaken. And by the way, He's not keeping up with it by Himself. So what are you talking about? There are three that bear record. The Father. The word, capital W. And if you want to know who the capital W word is, look in John chapter number 1 and other places, but especially in John 1, 1 through 3 or 4 in there, it will, without any question, explain who that is. The Father, the Word, capital W, that means the capital means that it's personified. It's a person. It's not talking about a spoken word or a written word, although He's both. If He wasn't both, God wouldn't have called Him the Word. Hello? There ain't nothing in the Bible that Jesus didn't want in the Bible. You tell people that and they go nuts. But here's the problem. In most translations, almost all modern translations, 1 John chapter 5, 7 is not even in their Bible. You don't believe that, do you? Just check out two or three of them. See there, that's the right thing to do. If you don't ever clutter your mind up with that other junk, you won't never have no problem with it. Here's my recommendation. If you ain't got you a good King James Version Bible, throw what you got away and get you one. And I'd tell that to Jeff Johnson, too, if he was standing here. And he'd argue with me, but I'd tell him that. No, ain't no problem to it. He did write a book on it. I got it, and I started reading it, and I threw it in the trash. Now, I'm reading this book on the absurdity of unbelief. That's a good thing. But that other one, I just threw in the trash. There was no need me messing with it because he done riled me to start with. Hey, I was taking a class from the Dallas Theological Seminary on the book of John. And I was proud of myself. I had four lessons, and I answered every one of their questions correctly. All four of them, each session. Now, this is the kind of classes I like when you just ask four questions. You got multiple choices. That's always a pretty good guesser. But some of this stuff I actually knew. And one of them was a problem with the stirring of the waters. And that idiot, who's the main guy at them seminaries? The president, Dr. Mark Bailey of the Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, well, you just can't take the King James Version. Just assume that it's correct. Well, my God, what are you going to do with it then? That's exactly right. We believe it. We got every confidence in the world. In fact, you can never make me believe it's not correct. You know what I did? I quit taking his course. I give that sucker $100 to take that course. He can keep my $100. I don't care. No, listen to me. If you can't trust your Bible, what can you trust? There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And here's the next phrase. And these three are one. Now listen to me. The record's settled. It is settled. Back yonder before the foundation of the world, God chose in the beloved the elect. And he was selected. The sovereign God did it. See, the Son of God didn't do the choosing. Now, he agreed with it. Because they won, they couldn't disagree. And by the way, it's the sovereign God. He's the one who calls you. Are you listening? Hey, yeah. I read this in the Bible. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except through the Son. And no man can come to the Son but my Father draw him. It's God the Father that calls out, that draws you to Christ. And he does so through the agency of the Holy Ghost. But it's the Son to whom he calls you. God the Father is the one who regenerates you by the agency of the Holy Ghost. It's God the Son is the one who redeemed you. Your election's not by Jesus. Your election's by the sovereign God of the universe. And nobody who's elect's going to get left behind. I don't care what Jerry Vines or whoever them dudes are that wrote that Left Behind series. Jenkins, I think, not Vines. That other doctor guy. Select by the sovereign God. Listen to me. You can argue against the principle of election, but you cannot win that argument. It's kind of like my wife. I don't know why she just keeps on. Because I'm always right. That's right. When I apologize to her, I just apologize not for being wrong, just for arguing with her. Well, I may be right wrong every once in a while, but I don't admit to it. Hey, did you know it's God's elect that are justified? And only God's elect? Look it up in Romans 8:33. Hey, did you know that it's God's elect that have faith? And only God's elect that have faith? Look it up in Titus chapter number 1, verse number 1. Listen to this. I got time to finish up. I'll take whatever he... I know. I'll take... He don't need a watch. I'll take... Leave me alone. I'm trying to preach. Did you know this? This will help you. That not all God's elect have yet been saved. So how do you know? Because we're still here. See, you got any verse for that? I have. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Brother Paul. Look at verse 10. I believe that's right. I got it right written down. Find that. Oh, yeah, that's it. Read it out loud. What does that mean? They hadn't got it yet? Some of them have, but all of them hadn't. And those that hadn't, why do you think we preach? Why do you think we maintain our honesty and integrity at church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, day after day, strictly on the Word of God? This is what the Bible says. Because there's some elect out there that God may choose to use us to get the revelation to them through the Word of God. Every once in a great while, somebody will be saved under my ministry. Most of the time, they'll get saved and go somewhere else. Say, well, don't that bother you? Well, yeah, it bothers me. What kind of knucklehead do you think I am? But it don't bother me so bad. I didn't want them to get saved. And what bothers me, if they went somewhere else before they got saved, they probably won't. So what are you talking about? You got to have the full gospel to get saved. And what I mean by that is the true gospel. You can't have a watered-down fake gospel to get saved by. Here's another phrase. I'm winding down. This is the only verse, this is the only part I'm going to get to. But I am winding down, I promise. So two verses. I'm wearing out, that's what I'm doing. Sanctified as saints. That's the problem that Brother Russell and I had that got us excommunicated from our prison ministry. That none of those people that quote unquote supposedly got saved were saints. They were still sinners. Wretched sinners. I'd show up at the prison. And by the way, the prison was just like my church. 10 or 12 would come. Every once in a great while, there'd be a whole bunch. I said, oh, Lord, we haven't been this meet. If y'all ever been in a Southern Baptist church on Wednesday nights, you know what that means. Especially if it's mad at the preacher. And some of those guys that have been coming faithful, I really had some hope for. Man, I ain't, oh, man, it's bad. I thought, what in the world? What have you got into? Oh, it's horrible. I'm such a wretch and blah, blah. I said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, I'm just wretched and I'm just such a sinner. And this is what they've been taught. They can't even find God if they're not confessing that they're such a wretched sinner. But here's what the deal is. Y'all know what sanctified means? Tell them what sanctified means, Brother Paul. Set apart. If to the glory of God. But the primary thing is set apart. Here's what that means. Here's what you used to be with the world. Are you listening to him? Connected at the hip. But once God come into your life, once the Holy Ghost did that regenerating work, that thing that God did to you, once that happened, here's what he did. He sanctified you. Now what he did when he sanctified you, he made it impossible for you to ever get back over there. Now listen to me. If you come apart and wasn't sanctified by God, you can rejoin. and then you can get out, and then you can rejoin, and then you can get out, and you can rejoin, and then you can get out. Yeah, rededicate. God never did this. What he did is he put a, what is that word, Carter? Being set apart? Just a little chasm. You can't get back. Here's what I believe, and you can think what you want to, but here's what I believe. The old man's dead if you've been set apart. Listen to me. Think about this. No place in the New Testament, in the epistles, in the New Testament, are those who are professing believers ever sinners again. Every time they are in the Scripture now, they are addressed as saints. The only book that Paul did not start with an address to the saints in the entire Pauline book of Galatians. Isn't that interesting? And if you'll study the book of Galatians, you'll find out he was afraid of them. Right. Wow, isn't that interesting? Hey, listen, you talk a good talk, but then whenever the Jews showed up, you want to be a Jew. You can't be a Jew and you can't be a sinner and a saint at the same time. And if you ever was a saint and got to be a sinner again, listen, if you ever really was a saint and got to be a sinner again, it'd be impossible to renew you. Sanctified. Here's who the Apostle Peter is writing to. Listen, we don't take this seriously. When I say we, I'm talking about generically in the Baptist church. No matter what brand name you go by, Southern Baptist, BMA Baptist, ABA Baptist, Independent Baptist, or regular or irregular. Is he an irregular Baptist? Deformed Baptist? No, I think that's reformed, isn't it? Yeah. My friend, Sovereign Grace. It don't make no difference what brand name you go. If you've ever been sanctified, that means you're a saint, and you've got some obligations to God. Yeah, that business of going to church ain't. I like what Conrad Murrow: go to church or go to hell. If you don't really believe that, I believe that with all of my heart. It saddens me that sometimes you have to say that to people. I have a sister that I buried here back this past September a year ago. Somebody said, "Well, did she really go to heaven?" It don't look good to me. Well, she made a profession of faith back then when she was in the junior high. Yeah, but she lived like hell ever since then. Well, maybe she didn't live like hell, but she didn't live like hell. There is a difference. It's her daughter. Some of you know who I'm talking about when I say her daughter that's in prison. Now, I did not preach my sister into heaven, Brother Carter. I didn't preach her into hell. But I didn't preach her into heaven either. And if anybody asked me, even their children, my honest answer, my niece, he said, "Pray for Pappy. Pappy's my sister's husband, survivor. They've been married over 50 years. The second time, they was married one time and got a divorce and got remarried, but they lasted 50 years. The second, you know, I don't think he's even saved. That's my niece in prison. Saints. When we are sanctified, we become saints. Now watch this. You're going to get mad at me, but I can't help it. I just can't. I can't help it. The last part of verse 2, no, the part C of verse 2. This is sub-point 4, or D, if you're keeping up with them that way. Sprinkled by the Son. Isn't that interesting? Somebody look at your hand. See how much blood, Jesus' blood, you can see. Somebody told me it's just one drop of blood gets on a person. He'd say, "Well, give me a break." That's got nothing to do with the gospel. Do I believe that we're saved by washed in Jesus' blood? Absolutely. But not because of one drop. Hey, you got to get washed. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what my mama used to tell me. You can't get washed just doing a little spit bath. Mm-hmm. You don't know what a spit bath is, do you, baby? Oh, she does, too. Look at that. She's got one of those. I knew she did. I was just picking at her. I know. Y'all look at verse 2. Read that part out loud about the sprinkling part.
Unto obedience.
Whoop. Redact. Y'all know what redact means? I learned that the other day. I told this two or three times. I like telling. I learned what redact means. You know what redact means? Let me tell you what it means. Scratch it out. When you redact your report, you just scratch out the part you don't want in there. Hey, scratch that obedience out because you don't want to mess with that.
Exactly.
You can't scratch it. Then what are you going to have to do? Live it.
Yes.
Obey it. Read that on, Brother Carter.
Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Look here. If Jesus' blood gets on you, and it don't, not literally, not materially, not physically, I believe it got on some of them soldiers, and not one of them got saved as a result of it. The guy that pastored the church 4 years where I am, just before I came there. I used to remember his name, but I'm old and doughty now and I forgot. I heard him preach at the church my mama and them remembers that, at the old Center Baptist Church. And this is what he preached. He preached about Simon the Cyrenian. You remember him? When he the one compelled it, he talked about how gloriously he was saved because he carried Jesus' cross. The blood got all over him, got saved. And he could have. I'm really hoping he did. But there's no evidence in the Bible anywhere that he did. But he didn't say, I hope he did. He just preached it. That's the way it happened. That's what happened. See, isn't that crazy? But here's what's got to happen. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, the blood of Jesus Christ makes you whole. Cleanses you from your sins. And when it does that, it does something to you. Did you hear what I said a while ago? If you'd just hang around Bob Woodruff just a little while, you didn't have to wait till he got old and doughty. Ever since I've known him, he's been like this. What did we say 25 years, over 25 years ago when I first met him? And you get around him, it don't take 15 minutes. He talks about being forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. I've been redeemed. I've been washed. Jesus shed his own blood for me. There's not a drop of blood on him. Anyway, he don't even have no black spots like I got, the old geezer. He must not do nothing. That's a blood spot on you. Y'all know that, right? And I didn't do nothing to my redemption. And if that's all you can get is something you can see, it didn't help your redemption either. But when the Holy Ghost does the work that he does, sprinkles his blood. And by the way, the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on the mercy seat.
Amen.
Figure that one. There's so much about this stuff we won't figure out till we get to see him and ask him, as my friend Brother Carter would say, or you can just ask him. I'm wore out. I got one more little thing I want to tell you. It's in that last part of verse 2. What does it say? The last couple of words.
Grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Multiplied. Grace. Let me do this real quick. I'm not been here an hour yet. I do get an hour, don't I? Let me do this right quick. Commas mean something in the Bible. When you got a comma, there's a separation. Let me just give you an example. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 17, verse number 7. I really contemplated preaching this. I might could preach this whole verse in 2 days, in 2 sessions. I might. It took 3 or 4 at home, but I might could preach the whole thing in 2 sessions if I'd leave some of it out. Brother Carter calls that editing, but I don't learn about editing. I just leave stuff out. Are you there?
Yeah.
And that day, and is that how it starts? At that day. I ain't got time to tell you what that day is. There's a whole lots of days in the Bible. Here's the day you need. Listen, look at me. Here's the day you need to be concerned about. There's two of them. One is this day, today, if you will hear his voice. Pardon, not today, this day. Today is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. But there is a day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. He said, I'll not have you slack. I said, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now, the next part of that verse is a wonderful sovereign grace passage. That's not what I'm interested in. God's not slack concerning his promise. Now, his promise is not that he's going to save somebody, but he does. He's not willing that any should perish, but his long-suffering to usward. But that's not the promise. The promise is found in verse 10. That day shall come. God's not slack concerned. Hey, listen, if you think Jesus ain't coming, think again. No matter what your eschatology, if you get right, you'll be premillennial, but if you're not, that's all right with me. No matter what your eschatology is, Jesus is coming. And when, listen to me, no matter what your eschatology is, when Jesus comes, it's over for Gentiles. Now, there's going to be some Gentiles going to face God, but it's going to be over. There'll be no hope, no more salvation, no matter what your eschatology. You can be a left-behind guy, and they're wrong. Ain't nobody getting saved during that time. If anybody gets saved during the tribulation time, if there is a tribulation time, and if you get right in your Bible eschatology, there will be. But if there is, it's going to be Jews. Only Jews. So, well, the Bible don't say that. Well, the Bible don't say nothing else. But even if it's not of tribulation time, when it's over, it's over. So there's 2 days you need to be concerned. One, you need to take some hope in. Listen, if you're here today without Christ, today's the day. Come to Christ. And the other thing is, if you wait until that day, it's too late. Now watch what he says, grace. I'm giving you a King James Bible lesson. Chapter number 17, verse number 7. What does it say after that, Brother Paul? Yes, sir.
At that day shall a man look to his maker.
Hold it right there. Comma. I want you to look at that comma. Maker. Now, you know who the maker is, right? In the Old Testament, anytime you get to the maker, it's the absolute sovereign God. God the Father. But read the next phrase.
His eyes shall have.
There's a comma there. All right, if there hadn't been a comma, it would say this. And a man shall look to his maker and his eyes shall be. Have respect or whatever. The man, he's talking about the man now. And the maker and the Holy One of Israel would be the same. But there's a comma there. That means the maker and the Holy One of Israel is not the same. You know who the Holy One of Israel is? It is Jesus Christ. Every single time it's in the Bible, it's a reference to Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Here's what Jesus said. I'm finishing up now. Here's what Jesus said. Multiplied grace. I'll get to that another time. But here's what Jesus said. Are you listening? Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? But that ain't good enough, Brother Doug. Hey, you can believe in God and go to hell. The devils believe in God and they tremble. Well, sure they do. They've experienced why they tremble. Some of them's reserved in chains under darkness until the day of judgment. Some of them are. Some of them's running around to some of these people I see out here. Devils I'm talking about. You say, well, that's not true. Well, sure it is true. You don't think these folks are demon-possessed? That's what we call it, devil-infested. Devil-indwelt, moved and operated within by the evil spirit, an unclean spirit. I can almost name some of them. If Obama ain't one of them, I'm highly surprised. You see, I know he's going to get political. That got nothing to do with politics. And it's... Conrad Murrell, y'all know him? He's my spiritual stepfather. I didn't have a spiritual father, so I adopted father is what I meant to say. So I adopted Conrad. I begged him, would you be my spiritual father? I said, I don't have one. I surrendered to preach. The guy surrendered to preach under, left, and then I was kind of floundered around on my own, and I just kind of got up. I need help. And he agreed. He said, I will. He'll do it. He's my friend. The only joke I ever heard him told said, well, it's not going to be no Halloween. Halloween. And he's talking about Bill Clinton. Said the devil skipped town and took the witch with him. Well, that's what Conrad said. I'm just telling you. My friend J.M. McDonald, yes, my friend J.M. Jack McDonald said that in my church one time. The brother was a district brotherhood meeting of all things. Nobody liked him when they left out. And everybody was mad at me for having him. And I laughed. I knew he was going to pull some stunt like that. I just sit way back here on the back and watch him. Hey. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. That's what that verse is talking about. And those commas make a difference. Now listen, there's peace and grace. Isn't that what it says? There's a comma. There's no comma here. Is there? Grace and peace, but there's no comma. Yeah, but they both, they all, let's all be multiplied. Isn't that interesting? You got it from Christ. You got grace and you got peace if you got grace. If you come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Help us with it. Oh, that's a lot of stuff here. Help us with it. Help us just mull about these things. And then as we try to pillow our head and rest, that we can make sure that we have grace and peace multiplied because of the respect that we have for the Holy One of Israel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.